Okay, this is Brother Jim, and I'd just like to welcome everyone who's joined with me here in person or online as we come together and we attempt to glean truth from God's Word so that we can edify the body and glorify our Lord who shed His blood for us. Thank you for joining us, and I just want to say these teachings are audio recorded so they could then be enjoyed not only in person, but then we put them on our website under our fellowship teachings so that other saints can tell other people about it, or it will be found online and people can be edified all over the world while we're sleeping. People in other parts of the world can be edified. So this is why we do audio recordings. And I just want to say a couple of things before we start. We never audio record prayer. We believe that is private. And we also don't audio record singing. We also think that is very private to be done with people that you're in unity with. So that we don't see that evidence in Scripture of being a public thing. Teaching is to be proclaimed to all. And then the other thing I want to say is if you're a Berean, and I hope you are, have a notepad and paper. And as I go through this teaching, write down every single Scripture verse that I reference or quote. And then you can go back in your own studies, take your time, ponder the Scriptures, test Brother Jim to the Word of God, make sure that I'm saying exactly what God's Word says. So I encourage people to take their own notes. So with that said, let's get started. We are working on a series going through the Gospel, and we believe the Gospel in God's Word, the Gospel to eternal life, is five steps. It is faith in Jesus Christ and His finished works. We already have What is Saving Faith. That is up on our website. We did that several days ago. Today we're going to teach on repentance and what it means to have repentance. And the rest of the Gospel, for anyone listening that doesn't know what we teach or what we believe God's Word teaches, then you must be born from above because of that faith and repentance. Holiness and obedience, we put those two together. They're really the same thing. They mirror each other. And then you must endure in a saving faith to the end. That's what we believe is the biblical gospel. Today, we're going to talk about repentance. Now, what we need to ask ourselves, what does it mean to repent unto God leading to salvation? As I said, I'm doing this series because the gospel is so corrupted in America and all over the world. It's been twisted, it's been ignored, it's been changed. And so we want to make sure that we get it right. All right. As I do ministry, and I've been doing ministry for many years now, it always amazes me how claimed people of faith, I'm talking about evangelicals, denominational people, people that claim to be Christians, even born again Christians, they miss repentance in God's Word. They don't just twist it. Some of them twist it and change what it means, but many of them don't even speak of it when it comes to salvation. Now, I always like to do word studies, and if you go into the New Testament and using the King James, you'll see that the word repentance, repentance, is used over 60 times, 60. To me, that's pretty telling. And what's more telling is, you look at modern pastors, again, evangelical, denominational, even Roman Catholics and all the other cult groups, Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses, they'll go out of their way to teach all about the tithe because they want that money. When the tithe is mentioned like 7 times in the New Testament, never taught to the Gentiles. They love to quote and really push hard on homosexuality, and of course that is a sin. That's not mentioned more than 5 times in the New Testament scriptures. Yet something that's mentioned over 60 times that's directly tied to salvation, modern religion seems to avoid it, go around it. They install things like Christmas, Easter, pagan holidays that God's Word never ordained, politics, and being mingled with the world when God's Word never teaches that for His true holy people, yet repentance is all over the Scriptures, both in the New and the Old Testament, and I'm going to show that to you. So that's just kind of telling. 60 times in the New Testament, and all these other things that are not even found there or found very little, they overemphasize them. It shows you, I think, the heart of man-made religion and how it's false, and it changes the gospel to suit its audience and to keep the pews filled up. It's a shameful twisting taking away from God's word, that both in Deuteronomy 4:2 in the Old Testament and Revelation 22:18-19 in the New Testament says, don't do that. Don't take away. Don't add to God's word. There's a dire warning in Revelation to get your name taken out of the book of life. You'll be removed if you partake in that. So be very, very careful that you're not involved in adding and taking away from God's word through some religious system where you're not doing it yourself. So repentance, it clearly matters for salvation. And as I mentioned, it's in the New Testament 60 times. It's in the Old Testament over 40 times as God dealt with Israel in the Old Covenant. Today we're in a new covenant. We're in the blood covenant, Matthew 26. Now, to understand the doctrine of repentance, we know we start with faith. You can't even repent until you have faith in Christ, fully man, fully God. He sheds his blood. He rises again for us. We believe he is who he said he was, the only way to the Father. All right? That's where it all starts. But then how do we get to where God needs us to be? The answer is repentance. And repentance is a happening in your mind that then leads on to your actions, born from above by the Spirit of God. And we're going to show you that. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing. And I just want to throw a note in here. Knowing who the Father is today, me, a man born of God, walking with God, striving my best, I find it hard to even fathom people that think they're born again, that overlook sin, think it's okay to walk in sin, take sin lightly, and they think it's okay to willfully sin, and still they think they're going to make it into the kingdom. Because if you're born of God's Spirit, the Holy Spirit will not let you take sin lightly, will not have you overlook sin, will not have you walk in darkness, but will walk as Christ walked, in the light. He is the light. So trampling the blood of Christ by continuing to sin, not having correctly repentance, this is a dangerous, dangerous thing. I'd encourage you to go read the whole chapter of Hebrews 6 as it covers those who would do that. It's very, very dangerous. And the fruit, I believe, of that, or the reason that happens, is sadly most people today are born of false man-made religious traditions or a false Jesus of their own making. So that just is, that's a whole nother teaching right there. So for this teaching, we're going to take a close look at the word repentance, how it's used in Scripture. Now, what I find interesting is some of the very first words that Jesus Christ, creator of the universe, that he used in ministry were, in fact, repentance. Luke 13:3, he said, I tell you nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. So to start out this teaching, let's take a look at this word repent, repentance. In the Greek, the word is metanoiu, metanoiu. And what it means is to change your mind, okay? And we're going to build on that because that's where it starts. You change your mind about God and his ways, but it doesn't stay there. It changes and adds, and God builds upon that. Just like he builds upon our faith, then he builds upon repentance. What Jesus is asking men to do is to change their minds, all right? And then we'll see what Jesus Christ and his trained apostles expected from a changed mind. Remember that. We're going to see what God, Jesus Christ, and his trained apostles, what they expected from a repentive mind. And the reason I'm hammering this home is many people will tell you, you just repent, you change your mind, that's all there is to it, you don't have to change your deeds. That's a lie. It is not what the Holy Word of God teaches. So we're going to get to that as we go through this. So I want to be clear on this. Repentance is right after faith. It's the very start of coming to this knowledge of eternal life. Once you have belief in the risen Savior, he's the only way to the Father. Your new thinking, you've changed your mind, you've repented, opens the door to the good news of the gospel for God to then come in through new life and bring you to holiness and endurance. There I am, I'm preaching the gospel to you, and this is the path that we take to get there. So this repentance is to turn your mind from your rebellious ways. We've all lived there. We've all, me as a pagan, Sister Debbie as a religious person, but living worldly and sinful. Other people maybe less sin, but still not doing everything God's commanded them to do. That's what sin is, transgression of his law. So it's a changing of your mind. This is where it starts, but then we're going to show you that it leads to so much more. It's not just having a mind change. It's a changing of action to obedience. It's faith and works. It's faith and works that go together. Okay, had a little technical difficulty there, so I'm going to have to catch my place again. So as we go on, you're going to see that there's so much more than just a change of your mind. I think I said it's an action that change to obedience. And again, I got to go back because this is so important. Denominationalism, evangelicalism, it says it's a changing of your mind. You feel bad about your sin. You turn your mind, you believe on Christ, and they pretty much stop there. They don't go further to what God says. Some say there's no change of action at all to any obedience. We call these grace abusers. And this is sinfully taking away from God's word, and we covered that. It's sinful to do that, and it ignores what is the natural conclusion of a truly changed mind, which is a change of actions, and we're going to show you that. So faith and works. We have faith in Christ. We repent to believe on Christ. Works are going to come and go right along with this, as we covered in our teaching on a saving faith. So I want to go right to some scriptures now, some more scriptures, and give you some examples of why it means more than just a change of your mind. It also is a change of action. In the Old Testament, God always was calling his people, the nation of Israel, out of its sin. They were a stiff-necked people. Go read the Old Testament, how they wandered in the desert for 40 years. Well, what did this repentance look like? Well, we can see it in the heart of his prophets. Jeremiah 31:19 says this, "Surely after that I was turned, I repented. And after that I was instructed, I smote upon my thigh. I was ashamed, yea, even confounded, because I did bear the reproach of my youth." So here Jeremiah is saying that he remembers a time when he did things that were sinful and wrong. I can certainly relate to that. And he didn't just change his mind. He was sorry for his actions, ashamed of his past sinful, shameful actions. How about Ezekiel 14, verse 6? "Therefore say unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, repent and turn yourselves from your idols, and turn away your faces from all your abominations." So we catch that. Repentance, change your mind. Right after that, turn yourselves from your idols. All right? This goes right in line with God, our holy, just, righteous God, his call for us to walk and conform as Christ and the apostles in holiness. 1 Peter 1:15 tells us to walk in holiness. And go read the book of 1 John. It's a great book to read. It tells us all about walking as Christ in the light, in the truth. So we don't just repent and stay in our sin. We repent, change our mind, then we turn from our sin. Now here's an interesting verse from Jonah, chapter 3, verse 10. This is where God had a change of mind, and look what happens. "And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he had said he would do unto them, and he did it not." Here we have two repentances. The people turned away from their evilness, and then God changed his mind, and he didn't destroy them like he would have, or didn't judge them. Repentance and a changing of our actions to holiness, good works, and deeds. Now you have to ask yourself a question. If people change their minds, but they continued in their evil ways, we just dealt with that verse, how would God have dealt with them? Would he have just said, well, they repented in their mind? No. Repentance in the mind always goes with action. And all we need to do is ask Sodom and Gomorrah about that. They wouldn't repent. They didn't change. God destroyed them with his wrath. So this is very, very terrifying warning to those people that want to trample the grace of God. In the Old Covenant, God always asked his people, Israel and men, to forsake their sin. Go do a word study on forsake. In repentance and turning from their ways. And in the New Testament, it's no different. I'm going to show you that. It's absolutely same God, same gospel. All right? But just now with the revealed Jesus Christ Messiah before us. Now, before we go back to scripture, let me give you a real world example. Jesus always used parables, so I like to use real world examples. Let's say a woman is caught stealing from her employer. And she says when confronted, "Oh yes, I know that's wrong. I repent of that. I've changed my mind." And then her boss says to her, "Okay, well, that means you're not going to steal anymore, right?" And she says, "Well, no, I'm probably still going to steal, but I've changed my mind about stealing." This absolutely makes no sense. And the boss and the other people and the police and the judge and everyone would look at her and say, "Did she really change her mind and her heart about that matter?" The answer is no. She didn't change it at all, because your actions of a changed mind are always carried out in your life. See, God sees man's heart fully. We can't fool him. Let's go to Hebrews 4:12, one of our favorite verses at don'tperish.com. "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." So what I want you to do, you folks that are listening, whether in person or online, think about repentance in your own mind and think about, does it really drive you and bring you to more, to action, okay? Like a man loving his wife, it's not in lip service, then he protects her, he's faithful, he loves her, he cares for her, he provides for her. Faith and works going together, right? So let's go into the New Testament. So we showed you in the Old Testament what God required. The New Testament. How about John the Baptist, one of my favorite New Testament characters? Jesus said, "The greatest man." That's pretty nice credentials. I wish I had that. Matthew 3:8. John said, "Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance." Wait a minute. I thought repentance, evangelicals and denominational people, was just changing your mind. But John the Baptist, a guy that lived in the desert and was trained up to make the way for the Lamb of God, he thinks repentance should bring fruit. I'm going with John. I don't know about you. Speaking of fruit, let's go on to Jesus' words to look at what a repentant, faithful, mind-changed person will look like. John 15:5-6. "I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit." It doesn't say little tiny bits of fruit. It doesn't say fruit you can barely see. It says bringeth forth much fruit. "For without me you can do nothing. But if a man abide in me not, he is cast forth as a branch, and he is withered, and men gather them and cast them in the fire, and they are burned." How much more clearer can you get the words of Jesus Christ? If you're in him, through faith and repentance, you will bear much fruit. I'm going with Jesus' words over man-made religion. I hope you do too. How about if we go on to Matthew 9:13? "But go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Here, Jesus Christ is making it clear. He's come to call sinners to repentance. So let's get this right. If you're righteous, you're doing righteous acts. You're obeying God, like Noah did, like Abraham did. But if you're a sinner, you're a transgressor of God's law, and you need to repent from that. But Jesus says he's come to call the sinners to repentance. What's the natural conclusion? If you repent, you're going to strive for righteousness, aren't you? Absolutely. And that's who Jesus came to call, sinful people to repent and do works of righteousness. And I want to add in here, I always preach this, I've been preaching it more. Jesus Christ never comes to save us in our sin. He saves us out of our sin. He redeems us out of our sin as we place our faith, repent of it, forsake it, and follow after him. Let's keep going with the words of Jesus. Luke 17:3. Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. What is that for? What does that repentance look like? Okay, your brother, I don't know, he smashed into your car on purpose. And you say, call him to repentance. And he goes, okay, I changed my mind about that. But then the next day he does it again. Again, he hasn't changed his mind really because he continues to do it. Jesus makes it clear in Matthew 18, another verse that evangelicals and denominational places will hardly ever teach about, that if a man sins in the body or against you, that he can be restored if he leaves his sin. Go read Matthew 18. And Jesus says, if he doesn't repent and he doesn't change his ways, put him out of the body. So we know how serious Jesus is about righteous ways and obedience. And we're going to see more of that as we go on. So Jesus is clearly teaching us in all through Scripture how to love God, how to walk in God's ways. And he teaches us the great command, you can read about that in Matthew, is to love God and love your neighbor as yourself. Those are the great commands. Well, if you listen to Jesus' words, you cannot love God if you don't obey him. And that comes through repentance. Jesus tells us that in John 14, 15, in John 15, 14, and in Hebrews 5, 9, the writer says, Paul says, he made the way of eternal salvation for those who obey him. It's not just changing your mind. It's a changing of your ways and your action. Repentance, metanoia, changing your mind than changing your ways. It's very, very clear. So you have the words of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Let's move on to the apostles that he trained personally himself. Acts 17, 30. Apostle Paul says, and the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. So God is commanding men everywhere to repent. Change your mind. Well, I have a question for you. Go look at the context of Acts 17. Paul was walking through a city full of pagans, false gods, statues. He goes to preach to them. If you know anything about Apostle Paul and the Word of God, could you imagine that Apostle Paul would call pagans to repentance and then leave them in their paganism, bowing to statues, false gods? You think Apostle Paul, called by Jesus Christ, would leave them in their paganism, or would he call them out of it because they've changed their minds? Makes perfect sense, doesn't it? Go read 2 Corinthians 6, and that tells us all about what Paul would say about coming out of darkness, right? And following Christ in his truth and in his light. So these are the apostles that are trained by Jesus Christ. I just want to remind you that. Acts 8, verse 22. Peter says this, repent, therefore, of this wickedness and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart might be forgiven thee. So Peter's dealing with a guy that wanted to buy the gifts of God. He's telling him to repent and turn from those ways, and maybe God will forgive you. Repentance leading to actions, not staying in your sin. 2 Corinthians 12, 21. Apostle Paul says, and lest when I come again, my God will humble me among you, and that I shall bewail many which have sinned already, have not repented of the uncleanliness, the fornication, lasciviousness which they have committed. Do you see there? Paul is saying they haven't repented because they haven't left it. Some of them might have changed their mind, but they were still doing it. Paul's coming to make sure they stop doing it. A change of your mind, metanoia, a change of your actions. Paul clearly expected them to change their actions, as we showed you that Jesus Christ taught that as well. Let's go on to the last book in the Holy Scriptures. How does Jesus Christ deal with the bodies of Christ that he's warning about the issues they have? Revelation 2, verse 5. Remember, therefore, from whence thou hast fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. Again, repentance, metanoia, changing your mind, right behind it, doing the first works that you've left behind. Faith and works, repentance and action. We see it all over God's word. You have to be blind or a deceiver to not see it. Revelation 2 verse 22, the very next verse. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. What is Jesus telling them to repent of? Just change your mind. No. Change your mind. Repent of their sinful, evil deeds. Do you see a pattern here? Change your mind. Change your deeds. As John the Baptist said, fruit worthy of repentance. Revelation 16, verse 11. And blaspheme the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and repented not of their deeds. Once again, they're not repenting of their deeds. They're continuing on. They may have changed their mind, but they're repenting on in their deeds. So this is very, very serious. And we want to be very, very careful that we're not doing those same things. So there are many, many more scriptures that I could take you to that show a repentive, changed mind leads to obedience. And I want to say this, and I want to be clear. There's now one verse that says people can continue in their sin even though they've repented in their mind. There's not one verse that even hints of that, but there's many verses that warn people to repent, to turn from, to come out of their sin. This makes a mockery of God's justice, his righteousness, and his holiness. Go read the book of Galatians. God will not be mocked. So I want to be clear as we're covering this topic of repentance. If you use exegesis, we're going to talk about this. Exegesis is the proper study of God's word. I like to remember it this way. You want to exit the truth from God's word. It's clear to see repentance is a changing of your mind, which leads to a changing of your ways to obedience and holiness. Most people today, most modern pastors and false teachers, are using eisegesis. They're saying, I'm going to go to God's word and I'm going to make it say what I want it to say. So exegesis is the way to bring the truth to our lives. Eisegesis is how we teach falsely, how we deceive people, or we deceive ourselves. So God requires men to repent. He calls them all to think differently, all right, according to his word, and then conform themselves to Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, truly God himself. I want to bring up Mark 7 here. It's kind of a key verse for this. Lip service, a changing of your mind, but not changing your actions and your deeds, it voids your worship of God. Go read Mark 7, where Jesus warns the Pharisees, you're doing your man-made traditions, you're not following the commandments of God. Lip service, your hearts are far from me. Isn't that what a changed mind would be without change actions? It's lip service. It's the biggest issue that Jesus had with the Pharisees. The Pharisees were teaching people the law, do this, do this, do this, which was good. He said to do that. Then they were adding things to the law. And Jesus said, you put upon men things you won't even do. Hypocrites. They might have had a change of their mind to do things rightly, but they weren't doing them rightly. And this is where Jesus calls them out. So one of the last points I want to make here, there are those that will say, well, we're all still going to sin a lot. We can't obey. Well, I'm here to tell you that the God of the Old Testament is still the God of the New Testament. He has not changed. Go back in the Old Testament and read in 1 Chronicles 13, where God took his instructions, his word, his law, his command serious, and he killed a priest for touching the ark that was falling. He killed him. All right? Now you say, well, that's in the Old Testament. God was a wrathful God. Well, let's go to the New Testament when grace has come. Go read Acts chapter 5. Peter oversees, via the Holy Spirit, the killing, the death of a husband and a wife over what? They murdered somebody? No. They were doing homosexuality? No. One lie. Ananias and Sapphira were killed by the Holy Spirit. So I like to remind people this. If you don't think sin is serious to a holy God, you really need to question if you truly are born of His Spirit. It's a really a good question that you need to ask yourself, because the Holy Spirit won't let you stay in sin, walk in sin. He comes to teach, convict, and comfort. He's going to do those things in you. He's going to finish His work. That's what it says in Philippians. He's going to continue a work in you. He's going to be doing those things, convicting, teaching, and comforting you when you follow. But if you're just changing your mind without your actions, then you're not in obedience to God's word. You might quench that Holy Spirit, and He may stop. And I just did a teaching on that about, has God turned me over? You can look that up on our teaching blog, where God turns people over when they don't listen to their conscience or the Spirit. I want to take you here to a section of Scripture, Romans chapter 2, verses 4 through 8, that I think illustrates what we're trying to teach here perfectly. Despisest thou the riches of His goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? Is God good, people? He's very good. And what does He lead you to? Repentance, metanoia. And when you change your mind, we just went over all of it, all the scriptures. What does it do? It changes your life to holiness and obedience. Let's get back. Verse 5. But after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasure up for unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds. Do you see why it's important? If you say you have faith and repentance, then you've changed your mind. But then God says, I'm going to judge your deeds. Your deeds better be lining up to the word of God and holiness. Verse 7, to them who by patient countenance in doing well seek for glory and honor and immortality and eternal life. I hope that's you. I'm striving for that. But unto them that are contentious, there's that word. It's in 1 Corinthians 11, where Paul talks about head coverings. And who do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation, and wrath. Doesn't that tie together perfectly what we're talking about? In your mind, through repentance, you change what you're thinking. Then you change your actions. You seek after eternal life. But those who are contentious and do not obey the truth, and obey unrighteousness, God's wrath is coming for them. Go read 2 Thess 1, verses 8 through 10. It says the same thing, that Christ is coming with a flaming sword to destroy those that don't know God and don't obey the gospel. If you just repent in your mind and you're not obeying, His flaming sword is coming for you, because your works are not backing up your faith. Dear saints that are listening, saints that are here, saints that are listening, do not be deceived by false teaching men that are on every corner in buildings. They're twisting God's grace. They're destroying what repentance really is. They tell you, oh, you just need to think different, that Christ has done it all. Well, He has done it all for us, but we are in a blood covenant. What's a covenant? Go read Matthew 26. What's a covenant? It has two parties. He did His part. You must do your part. And that part is a saving faith that leads you to repentance, where you change your mind, you begin to change your ways. Then let's walk through the gospel. Then God sees a willing vessel, gives you a new heart and a new mind. The Spirit leads you to holiness and obedience. That all comes from repentance. And you endure in the faith. There I am, preaching the gospel to eternal life again. Churchianity is twisting this idea because it fills up the pews. It scratches its ears. It's man-pleasing, but it's not pleasing to a holy God. And that's who you're going to answer to on Judgment Day. I'm going to leave you with one more scripture verse as I close. Romans 16, 17 through 19. This reminds me, this teaching reminds me of this. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. You're supposed to avoid false teachers, folks, no matter who it is. And then it says, for they are such that serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. Don't be deceived by these men. Verse 19, for your obedience is come abroad unto all men, and I am glad therefore on your behalf. So there you go. Paul rounds it all out. He's talking about your obedience. He's talking about repentance. And it's all going to come around full circle. So please go back to the scriptures I've covered here. Study to be approved. See what the scriptures teach about repentance, metanoia, changing your mind. Then what that leads to as you're following Jesus. You don't stand still. You change your mind, pick up your cross, pick up your struggles, deny yourself, be ready to lose your life, and you follow Jesus. And that's not in the world. That's not in man-made religion. That's not in the flesh. That's walking in the Spirit of God. And this can all happen because of faith and repentance. And next time we do a series, fellowship gathering, we're going to be going over what it is to be born from above. Faith and repentance is going to come together, and we're going to see new life. And this is really important, because most people you're going to deal with that are religious, that teach you repentance is not changing your ways, they live of the world, they're of man-made religion, you're going to find they don't have the fruit of being born of God. And so this is going to help you when you deal with them and to witness to them. So I hope this has blessed you, this teaching on repentance, metanoia. Change your mind, change your ways, follow Christ in all the fullness. He is worthy to be praised. And I hope and pray that our lives can be shown to be worthy in a small way of this wondrous, glorified Savior who shed his blood and rose again for us. And he says, come, follow me, lose your life, find new life in him. So thanks for joining me today. We had a few technical difficulties in the middle, but we got through this. Until next time we gather together, either in person or online, as Brother Jim always says, let me know how I can help you in the faith. And may God be praised.